And it's from Isaiah. Isaiah 43. And it's from 19. No, it's from 18 to 19. And it says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth." Some of you guys need to stop looking at the old and remember that God is doing a new thing in and through your lives, that you are in a new season with Him. But I also want to tell you that God spoke to my heart and said, stop walking in the wilderness, because He wants to take you to the promised land. Stop walking around in the wilderness, because He wants to marvel. He wants to marvel at what He wants to do in your lives. He wants to marvel at what He wants to do. Let Him do it. Give Him full control, not just a little bit. Surrender your life to Jesus, and you will stand in awe of what He does with a little wretched man like me and you. I'm here with the guys from Horizon Life Training today. We're quite a move-on settlement for guys that have done a program, you know, done 12 months in a rehabilitation centre and now wanting employability skills and wanting to be retrained so they've got a hope for their futures. But more importantly, we want them to know about Him and not forget about Jesus, and not just let it become something that I do, but something and someone that I love. Because we can do, it's not about a program, it's not about a denomination, it's not about an organization, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Jesus what set you free. It's the cross of Calvary that broke the chains of your addiction. It's the nail-pierced hands that brought freedom to your lives. It's the blood. It was the spitting upon. It was the mocking. It was the scorning. It was the crown of thorns that brought victory to every one of our lives. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. My name's Matthew, and I'm 35, and I live in Bradford. And I grew up, I'm one of 10. I grew up in quite an underprivileged home. My dad was never really supportive of us as children. Quite an abusive man. He was a heavy drinker. He wasn't very supportive of my mum. I went to church as a young boy, at 11 years old. But I'd come home from church to a dad who hated me, and I found it hard to understand the God who loved me. And I used to cry in my bedroom and say, God, why am I in a family like this? I got to the age of 15, and through my troubled times, I found comfort in football. I wanted to play football, and I'd take my ball out and I'd play as many hours as I could just so I didn't have to be near my father. And then when I got to the age of 15, I got sexually abused. This happened a couple of times, and I was filled and riddled with guilt and shame. I started with the party drugs. I enjoyed football, but my dad wouldn't even pay for my subs to go. So I thought, I didn't even feel like I had a purpose. I was struggling at school because I had so much guilt of this abuse, I couldn't even concentrate. And then when I came out of school, I just thought, you know, I'd given up before I'd even started. And then I started hanging around with the wrong people, drinking, smoking cannabis. And you know, as the story goes, it progresses. Heroin becomes the next step, crack cocaine. And for 15 years of my life, it was just robbed from me. And in and amongst all this mess, I'd had numerous jobs. I tried to hold a job down. I did labouring for a long time and driving and different jobs. But the guilt and shame would never ever go. And I'd use heroin to mask all that. And I got to the age of 21 and I met my children's mum who's got my two kids. And I thought, this is what I've always been looking for. I've got a partner. I got a flat. I got a job. I had a clean period for about a year and a half, passing my driving test. But that wasn't enough. The guilt and shame still crippling me. The thoughts of the past still haunting me. But you know, my children's moment, we had Daisy and I was trying to, you know, make a go of things, trying to get clean, going to different drug services, this user, taking this medication, going here, going there, going everywhere, as we do. And I thought, how am I ever, I dreamt of being free from that life. I dreamt of it. I got to the age of 31 and Fiona had had enough and she said to me, it's either drugs or your kids, you choose. I walked out of the family home, I left my children to be a drug addict. Not my choice, the power of hell itself. But in January 2014, everything started to change. But before that, I was in a flat and I was smoking about £200 for crack a day and my head was in a right mess. I was so paranoid, I used to look through the keyhole like this for an hour at a time thinking, what am I doing? And one night I cried out to God and I said, God, please, help me. I don't even want to be here anymore. I'd rather be dead, I've not got my children anymore. My brother was an amphetamine addict, he'd sleep for 3 days on end in the next room and I'd be in the other room getting involved in all chaos, drug dealing, all that crazy stuff. I said, God, please, I just want to have a life, I want to be normal. And I remember walking down the steps of the flat and I can remember the day like it was yesterday. It was about midnight, 12:30 even. And it was bouncing it down with rain. I started to walk to my mum's address. And as I started to walk, the rain was overwhelming. But in this overwhelming sense of this rain, I had such a brokenness. And I said, God, please, please help me. And you know, in the Bible, it says, when we're weak, God is strong. A broken and contrite spirit, God will not despise. And in that brokenness, God heard from heaven. And he started to put things in place for me in January 21st, 2014. But I had a drug worker and I'd go see my drug worker for ages, for a couple of years. We built a friendship up and, you know, he'd see me get clean. I got free from Subutex for such a short period of time. I'd do morphine sulfate tablets. I'd go out of country to try get clean. I'd go anywhere. I'd do anything to try be free. And I was thinking, what is he going to take? And my drug worker said to me, he said, Matthew, I've been free from drugs for 20 years because of Jesus. And I just broke right there in this drug service user's room. And I said, that's what I want. And I went to Teen Challenge on January 21st, 2014. And I tell you, oh, I wanted to encounter Jesus. I saw all these guys with their hands up. I'd lost everything. I had nothing to lose and everything to gain. And I remember being in chapel and I had such a brokenness. I needed such a deep healing. I needed God to really take away this unforgiveness from the past and the abuse. And I needed God to really reveal that He loved me and He was with me. And He did. He did. I had a road to Damascus. I had an Apostle Paul encounter with Jesus. I can never ever deny Him. He filled me so much with His power, His Holy Spirit. I was in a chapel service about 6 months in and I had my hands raised. And it was a chapel service that went on for the duration. And I just fell in love with Jesus. I was overwhelmed by His presence. But more than that, this guilt, this shame, this anger, this unforgiveness, it was all getting lifted. And I was finding deep freedom. But more than that, I was getting to know Him. I was falling in love with Him. I come through Team Challenge. I went to the Leadership Academy for a year there, learning what it's like to serve and, you know, to reach out to the lost and broken in different areas in the UK. Learning about evangelism, different teachings, and, you know, real great men of God coming to inspire that we can do great exploits too. And I dreamt of being where I am today. I've never ever looked back. In 5 years, I've never ever had the desire to take a drug, a drink, or a cigarette. That's not saying that some people's roads are different to mine, because they are. But what I'm saying is, oh, that you may know Him, Jesus. It's Him that keeps you. It's Him that sustains you. I've never touched a drug, a drink, or a cigarette because of Him. Because of His love. Because of what He's done for me. I am so thankful. Amen. So thankful that I have this incredible freedom to be able to love Jesus. And I want to tell you guys today, as great as Team Challenges and Carpenter's Arms and Horizon Life Training, and there's many, many more, they're just vehicles. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Christ. The disciples said to Jesus, "What must we do? Where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. Where else are we going to go, guys? We've had it all. We've done the partying, we've had the sex, we've had the drugs, we've had the rock and roll. Where else are we going to go but to Jesus? Run to Him. He's worthy. He's worthy of your all, because He gave you His all. He gave you His all. He died on the cross for a sinner like us. We don't even deserve it. My children, I'm still learning how to be a father. I have a lot of things that I've got to work through. There's consequences to my life. But I tell you what, my children will have a good example of a father because of what God has done. And whether I'm not seeing them now is irrelevant of what will happen in the future. I get to write to them. I tell them how much I love them. I encourage them. I build them up. I speak life into them. So whether you're separated from your children, that don't matter. God will restore, but in His timing and not ours. Paul said in the book of Philippians, he said that he counted it all lost. Everything. Counted it all lost. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Oh, that we may know Him. Jesus. That's my cry. Is that yours? Do you know who you are in Him? Do you know the authority you carry in Him. I want to share a little story for a couple of minutes. There was a young man came into our welcome. We have a dropping in Leeds. And this young man had drums, he said, beating in his head. And the team brought him to me and he was crying and he had his head in his hands. And I came in and I said, God, what can I do? I stood over this young man asking him what the problem was. He told me about the beating in the drums in his head. And I'm like, God, what do I do? And God said, pray. So I knelt down at the side of him and I said, can I pray for you? And he said, yeah. I said, can I lay hands on you? And he said, yeah. And as I started to pray and I started to just speak in tongues, there was a manifestation was happening. And then all of a sudden I said, come out in the name of Jesus. And this young boy, I tell you, when somebody's that tormented and you've not got time, all you have is Jesus. You have His power. You have His authority. This young man needed something there and then. And he needed Jesus. And I tell you, Jesus set him free in an instant. In front of a great cloud of witnesses. That's the God who we serve. That is Christ in us. The hope of glory. That is the authority that we carry as believers of God. Do we believe in His Word? Well, it says it in His Word. In Matthew 17 verse 14, if you read it, the young boy, his father brings him to the disciples and he's got all kinds of epilepsy going on and the disciples are full of unbelief and Jesus said to them, how long must I be with you? How long must I bear with you? He said, bring the little boy to me. And Jesus commanded the evil spirit to be gone and it never returned. And they said to Jesus, why couldn't we do that? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. He said, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you'd say, this mountain, move from here to here, and it'll be done. And these are the great words from Jesus. He said, nothing will be impossible for you. You see, authority in Christ. When you used to go to your headmaster's office at school, you know, and you thought, oh, I'm in trouble. And you know, yeah, and I used to get head teachers' commendations, by the way, because I were good. I wasn't. But when you went, all of a sudden there's this fear that arises. There's this, oh, I'm going in front of somebody. He's got authority. And you stand. How much more the authority you guys have got in Christ. How much more authority that you have. The Bible says all authority has been given to us that we may trample on snakes and scorpions. It does actually say it in the Word of God. It's not words of Matthew. It's the Bible. It's the Gospel. We have to believe what God says. Brian said about, you know, having something fresh. Man, I'm seeing God move in a whole new way. Because we're not under a banner. You know, people will come and it's, you know, getting people into Teen Challenge. Let's get people to Jesus. Let's get them to know Him. He'll change their lives. I work for Teen Challenge on the streets of Leeds and Bradford. And I know Teen Challenge is incredible. I've had a great time doing my program there. But it's about Jesus. It's about Him. They only lead you to Him. He's the one who bore all our sins and our shame. I hope that's encouraged you. I hope it's inspired something of faith in your hearts to start to believe in God for greatness for your lives. I can only stand in awe in 5 years of what God has done in my life. And I give Him all the praise. All the glory goes back to God. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus. Sorry if I've gone on, but I just felt that God prompted in my heart to share what He's doing. And there's more. There's more for you. It's about souls, guys. Charles Spurgeon, one of the old time evangelists, he said, there's no greater joy in life than gaining wealth or knowledge or a higher position than a brother or sister than he that wins a soul from the brink of death. Soul winners for Christ. That's where I want to be. Do you? It's about you serving others and seeing them come to know the Saviour who saved you. One last thing. I'd rather be rejected by men than not be used by God. Yeah. Sorry, Andrew. I'll now pass over to Andrew. But God bless you all. And thank God for you, Andrew. And for you, Brian. And for all you guys. And for Daniel, who I've done the programme with. Well, he was a bit ahead of me. Thanks for inviting us, Daniel. You know, it's encouraging to see what you're doing here. And I pray that God will bless you and enrich you and enlarge the capacity of those that you're reaching and intake. And we'd love to be here and supportive of you in any way. So God bless you. Amen.